I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 533. We spend time carbon dating X-Men. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi.
How you doing?
Better.
Me too.
Always better.
I finally got rid of my cold. My voice came back. That's why we had to do a clip show last week, because I had laryngitis, so I had no voice. And now I have most voice.
I was worried because about midway through last week, all of a sudden I woke up and I had no voice, which is really hard for the line of work that I do because I have to constantly be talking at people. And I was like, yeah, I'm like, my phone rings. I'm like, there's really no point in me picking it up because I literally sounded like this. Like, I literally had no voice.
Yep.
And I was like, I hope, because obviously we saw each other during that week. I'm like, I hope I didn't get what Ninja got, because then I will have no voice and we'll have to do another clip show because I can't speak.
Yep.
But it came back, so it was good.
Yeah.
It was good.
No. My laryngitis, you know, usually if, like, that happens, I'm, like, down for a day. And then, boom, I took that L and then I bounced back. I was, like, dropping freaking Ricola, Robitussin, Chloraseptic, like a fiend. And it was about 3 days before I started getting any kind of voice back. And it only started when I started eating really spicy ramen.
Oh.
Yeah, like the jalapeno broth. I don't know what it was. I guess it was like clearing up my congestion and letting things like heal. So I went on a bender for like 2 days where I had chili chicken ramen from Wagamama. And I'm just sucking down the broth and it's burning. But I'm like, I gotta do this because every time I take a sip, I could talk. And then after the broth would wear off from my throat, I'd be like... So I'm just glad I've got voice now so we can actually get back to doing what it is that we love to do, which is talk about video games and nerdy stuff that's going on. You know, as we're recording right now, C2E2 is wrapping up, which is the big comic convention in Chicago. We've got some friends who are there, hopefully picking up some great finds and meeting a bunch of really fantastic cosplayers. So hopefully we'll have some news to come out of that. Marvel did announce their next X series of movies, as well as a release date for Deadpool 2. I personally, if you're not aware, you know, they announced Dark Phoenix, New Mutants, a new X-Men movie, and I'll be honest with you, part of me is terrified.
Why?
Because, let's face it, they haven't done a really great job with the X-Men movies.
Yes.
Okay. And so, to announce that they're going to do a bunch, and they're all going to be coming out in the same year, and that they're going to do Dark Phoenix, New Mutants, and an X-movie... You already fucked the Phoenix Saga once.
Why not do it again?
And I know likey. Okay, I gave you a shot with rebooting everything with Apocalypse. And you also fucked that with no lube. So I just in like getting things wrong, you know? And I'm very protective. You know, I love comics. I've made no bones about it. I'm not one house or the other. I'm an and, not an or. So I love DC as well as Marvel. You know, there are some books that I love heavily on the DC side of the world. You know, you can't talk to me about Cassandra Cain because she is my Batgirl. And as
are you worried that they'll do a Batgirl with Cassandra Cain and fuck it up?
No, I'm worried that they won't do a Batgirl with Cassandra Cain, that it'll be Barbara Gordon. Because Josh Whedon has signed on. He's doing a Batgirl movie. But I'm almost 100% sure that it's going to be a Barbara Gordon Batgirl. And Barbara Gordon's not the only Batgirl. Cassandra Cain's not the only Batgirl, but, like, if you're wanting to keep doing these more darker, more R-rated, and frankly, I think that she, Cassandra Cain, has a more interesting story, because there's so much more black and gray than pure hero in Cassandra Cain, whereas mm-hmm. with Barbara Gordon, it's pure hero. Like, her conflict is really, if anything, that, you know, her dad's a cop and she's keeping doing this Batgirl thing from her dad. Like, there's her parents are perfectly fine. Their relationship's absolutely amazing. You know, she's smart. She's able to go to school. She's an achiever. It's not like she's struggling or in poverty or anything like that. Like, there's no sadness in Barbara Gordon's world
to justify her being a Batgirl.
There's just this, you know, desire to do good. And so she takes up the mantle because she thinks that the vigilante Batman is doing the right thing and standing up in ways that she realizes that cops can't. So she dons the cape. Okay. To me, that's not as interesting as a Cassandra Cain, who's basically engineered to be an assassin. And from the time that she's little, is not taught words, but how to kill. Martial arts. And is set to do some horrible, horrible jobs at the age of, you know, 3 and 4, killing these dictators and assigned hits and things like that, and never getting affection. And it's only through chance encounter with a mutant who realizes that, you know, something's off in her head and translates all the body movement stuff that she's learned her entire life into language. And so it's the first time that she actually understands language and can speak, like, completely changes her world. And she realizes, you know, the things that she's been doing are not exactly right and wrong. They're wrong, and is exposed to this completely other world and has to balance the innate thing that she's been taught her whole life, which is to kill, with the balance of that's actually wrong and you shouldn't do that and you should aspire to be more and you can be more and use your talents for the good of people versus not. And, you know, she's down in Bloodhaven, which is, you know, Cracktown Plus. Like, her environment and her story and her background and how she goes through her journey is, to me, is so much more interesting
than Barbara Gordon's.
So if you're going to make a movie...
Now wait, now are you talking about the Barbara Gordon that is not the one who becomes Oracle later?
No,
because I feel like her
Oracle, yeah.
Regardless of the paralyzation, or does that happen in every...
No, that happens for Barbara Gordon, but that's down the line Barbara Gordon. Most people, if they're going to do a Barbara Gordon movie, are probably going to start with her origin, right? Because you got to establish the character for a lot of people.
Right.
So we're talking a Batgirl movie, not an Oracle movie. Now, if you want to make an Oracle movie, that's a completely different beast.
Okay?
Because that's not Batgirl, that's Oracle. So, like, at the point that Barbara Gordon becomes Oracle, you're doing an Oracle movie. And really, you're doing a Birds of Prey movie.
Right. Because Oracle's integral is important.
That's her thing. She is the orchestrator for the Birds of Prey, for Huntress and Canary. And so if you're going to do an Oracle movie, you're really doing an Oracle plus Birds of Prey movie. And that's a much more interesting thing, because now you're doing a origin story for the Birds of Prey.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine if Netflix picked up Oracle, because they already kind of, through Jessica
Netflix
Jones,
should.
Hinted at Black Canary.
Right, because they're, you know, they're setting up Defenders, and that's cool.
Right.
That's cool. And I'm looking forward to that. I think that Netflix absolutely could do, but it wouldn't be an Oracle. It would be Birds of Prey. That would be how they would pitch it. But Oracle would be all up in it, because the WB did a Birds of Prey.
Right.
Serious, and with Shamar Moore. And Shamar Moore was the only reason to watch that Birds of Prey.
Yeah.
Because they fucking made Harley the villain that they were having to deal with.
Right, yeah.
And it's like, what? Harley Quinn is not an arch villain all by herself, guys. What the fuck?
Well, I mean, now in the comic book world, you're seeing, like, her get her own comic. And,
yeah,
like, they
now,
really are now establishing her as, like, an actual...
But back in the 90s, that
right.
wasn't the case. So it was like, how are you making Harleen Quinzel out to be, like, this super villain who, you know, is like at Joker level, but no Joker. Like, just, it made no sense. So if you were going to reboot Birds of Prey and do it right, I think that Netflix would be the place to go and do it. But again, like, back to the original point, Joss Whedon is doing a Batgirl movie. And if I got my pick, if you're going to do a Batgirl movie, especially right now where, you know, we see the darker superhero movies that are written well, do well. You know, Logan, I think, was probably the best Wolverine movie that they've ever...
Really? You didn't think Silver Surfer was awesome?
Slap yourself. Even sarcastically, that's wrong. And slap yourself. No, I don't think Silver Surfer...
Oh, come on. Wasn't that awesome?
Stop it. Even sarcastically, that hurts. It made me almost throw up in my mouth a little bit. But I do think that Logan was the best Wolverine movie that they did. I think that they brought X-23 to the forefront well. So that one gave me hope. If all the X movies had been like Logan, I would feel much better about New Mutants and Dark Phoenix. But right now I don't. The nerd in me is like, yeah, more superhero movies. And then the person who has watched most of these movies is like, oh, no. Because, like, if I'm super honest, like, a lot of people throw a lot of hype around Marvel movies, but when I start going down the track record, you know, I've got really two X movies that I think were really good, and the rest of them are just like, no. Guys, really, right. What? So I got two X movies out of what, 15?
Yeah.
So I've got two X movies that were good. I liked Deadpool. I loved Guardians. It just seems like they've been doing a better job with their non-mainstream movies than mainstream character movies, I should say, than with their mainstream character movies. Because, like, Deadpool was great. Deadpool was, you know, if you read the Deadpool comics, you enjoyed the Deadpool movie, because the Deadpool movie basically was like a living comic, a living version of the comic. Okay, there's no better person to play Deadpool than Ryan Reynolds. Like, just nailed.
Yep.
Okay, Guardians, also fantastic. Not true to the books, but fantastic. Okay, Gamora needs to be more of a motherfucking badass, because she's supposed to be the most badass assassin in the entirety of the fucking galaxy. So why she's not able to get a hold of people and is kind of put on second tier bitch to Star-Lord, I don't know. But hopefully that gets fixed in the second one, because, like,
she is revered
throughout the galaxy as being quintessentially the best assassin on the planet. Like, if Gamora's coming for you, you're fucking dead.
Right, well, I mean, so, right, got it.
Like, I mean, that's how she's billed in the comics. That's so, like, to be second fiddle and, like, questioning and not being able to get her man or get the job done.
I just want to see more interactions between her and the blue lady, because I saw the trailer where she's like, you know, you're the Guardians of the Galaxy. And she's like, it's Guardians. Why would we be Guardians? And it's just kind of like, like, it's funny. Like, I want to see more of that.
You know, so I'm excited for Guardians 2. Okay. And I think that, you know, with the Avengers series, they did a really fantastic job. Like, the Infinity Gauntlet stuff, I'm just so fanboy over it. And, you know, Black Panther... Jesus, that lineup, like, there's no way that movie's gonna be bad. And it's so cool to know that, like, I think at this point we're, like, a year away from Black Panther.
Right.
Okay, you're gonna have a main part of the Infinity Gauntlet movie series is going to have the blackest fucking lineup ever. Okay, it reads like a who's who of Black Hollywood. It's just amazing. And then, you know, you've got... I'm still a little upset that they've decided not to do Inhumans, but that's okay. I'll get over it. You know, you look at the Marvel world, and yes, they have more movies that are mainstream successful than the DC ones. It just seems like DC can't get their movies in check. Their animation stuff, the stuff that they do with Warner Animation, top-notch amazing. If you haven't seen any of the recent animated movies that Warner Brothers has been putting out, around Batman, you're doing yourself a disservice. Batman and Young Justice and Justice League. Like, that stuff's been amazing. I'm not convinced yet about the Justice League movie. And
what about the Wonder Woman movie?
I'm going to see Wonder Woman. I love Gal Gadot. You know, I did watch a couple of the trailers, and the trailers look good. But my fear is that the trailers are all the good high points, and it's going to be Batman v Superman. I'm so afraid. I have a real fear. Because I'm sorry, Batman vs. Superman sucked. It sucked.
All right.
I think Affleck did a good job of playing Batman, but Batman v Superman sucked.
That script was not very strong. That's what I'm saying. They didn't really establish Lex as a villain.
No.
He was more like a mid-boss.
You know, it's kind of like Suicide Squad. I felt like midway through, they changed direction completely and wrote a different movie and forgot that they had already filmed the first part. It's the way I felt about Suicide Squad. No, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed Suicide Squad, but we all know that it started out as a completely different movie, and then midway through, they were like, actually, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to make this more about Deadshot instead. And then they cut out all the Joker shit.
Right.
Because there's way more Joker shit. Way more. Because the movie was completely different. It was more focused on Joker doing crazy shit. And then needed to take out, and then they just changed it. And I don't know if it's because they decided, no, we actually want to keep Joker because we want him to be around in the next movie or whatever. I don't know. But I just have fears right now because it seems like from both camps, they've been a little hit and miss. You know, Logan was so good. I was like, shit, well, if you could make another Wolverine movie like this good, I wouldn't mind another Wolverine movie. Even though Jackman's like, I'm actually done. I've been playing Wolverine now for 15 years. I'm kind of done with it. And I was like, shit, it has been 15 years of him as Logan. Like,
yeah,
I get it. You want to do
give that
stuff?
Man some, give that man some gold lame pants.
You know, although I kind of have a feeling that, like, after 2 years of not filming a Wolverine movie, he'll get the itch and want to come back. I mean, Patrick Stewart has said, I will be Professor X for as long as you fucking want me to be Professor X. Just call me and I'll be there. And I can't imagine anybody else playing Professor X than Sir Patrick Stewart. And not just because
the simple fact his young version is James McAvoy. So, like, who wouldn't want to be him?
Right. Okay. But, like, just what Patrick Stewart brings to the role, he brings the right gravitas. Like, he brings the right voice. I now can't imagine Professor X with any other voice
as anyone else
than Patrick Stewart.
I want to know who they would have play. So, like, Patrick Stewart, P. Stewart, best fucking humanitarian in the fucking universe as far as I'm concerned
really
right now.
He's really kind of the best human on the planet. Let's be real. Like, let's be real. Patrick Stewart is the best human on the planet right now.
And him as Professor X, I'm completely down for that. I just want to know who his Moira would be.
I don't think that Byrne's done a bad job of Moira.
No, but she's young, so I'd want to know who wrote young.
Well, Moira, like, is younger than Professor X in the comics.
Yes, but not that much younger. Though. You're like, she's in his age range.
No, she's not. Like, not in the comics. Because in the comics, you have to remember that part of her admiration came from reading, when she was in school, some of Professor's papers, theories, and all that kind of stuff.
Because in my mind, it was always Gillian Anderson from the show. Like, the way Moira was designed, I'm like, Gillian Anderson should be Moira. And that's, like,
for me. Yeah, you can't go off the animated thing. In the comics, there's an age group. Because, again, it's just that part of it is, I think, when you look at the comic, Professor X, even though he is, you know, older than everyone in his school, he's still drawn, you know, with a really tight face, so you think that he's younger than he actually is. Because, like, Professor doesn't have wrinkles on his face. But he is significantly older. So, Rose Byrne is...
I mean, him and Magneto are, like, BFFs, so...
Right.
Right.
And Magneto was at Auschwitz. So, again...
Right.
When you do your math...
I hate math.
Yeah. So there is a huge, huge age gap between Moira and the professor. And that's part of the reason why for, you know, quite some time, Professor keeps it all professional between him and Moira, even though there's an attraction there, because Professor's not enough to be a kid. Be my kid. Type thing. Anyway, I'm now going into the next batch of superhero movies a little more skeptical. Because, you know, we're now getting into properties that are really near and dear to me. You know, I'm thrilled about Black Panther on so many levels. You know, I think it's going to do really, really well. And that'll be great for, you know, just representation-wise. We're going to get the reboot Spider-Man. And I saw that trailer, and I'm kind of like 50-50 on it. We'll see. I'm not sold yet on whether or not I'm going to go see the new Spider-Man movie. I'm definitely going to see Wonder Woman, because like I said, I love Gal Gadot. I think that she's the perfect person to pick right now to play Diana. Like, she was the only thing that I enjoyed about Batman versus Superman. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, but they didn't give her a lot to do besides look really hot.
Yeah, and I was okay with Gal Gadot looking hot.
Me too. Like, don't get me wrong, yeah, but I'm like, okay, you get this actress who, you know, I don't want to say like she's method, but she definitely does a lot of her own stunt work. So like,
you have someone who can take, because she was fucking in the Iranian army.
So like, she could take a few. I mean, don't go and hit her, but like, you could.
I'm fairly certain Gal Gadot has in fact actually killed people.
So I mean, like, she could handle it. Yeah. Like, clearly,
easily.
I hope they give her a chance to show her athleticism and her sense of combat timing in her origin movie. Because it would be really disappointing if they left it all up to CG.
Right. And I don't think that they did. So, you know, I have hopes for the Wonder Woman movie. I think that it's been cast really well. You know, you got Robin Wright in there as an Amazon. So, you're on the right path as far as I'm concerned. So, we'll see, you know, how that turns out. And hopefully it turns into a franchise. And then right on the heels of that, you know, you have Justice League. And
but they haven't even really established Aquaman or the Flash that they kind of showed in Batman v Superman.
No, like, we saw a little bit of them. They've released a teaser trailer for Justice League. Look, I think that Jason Momoa is an inspired choice.
Oh, he's gorgeous.
Okay, and, you know, obviously we're going after more down the road established Justice League with Aquaman being badass Aquaman, as opposed to, you know, the cartoon Aquaman and the earlier comic Aquaman. That's fine. That's cool. I'm with it. Awesome. Okay. Flash is one of my more favorite DC characters, the Barry Allen Flash, specifically one of my favorite characters in the DC universe. So, you know, part of me is a little upset that the kid playing Flash right now on the TV series,
CW?
Yeah, didn't get a shot at it, because I think that he does a really good job.
I'm surprised.
But it's because they're going for the older Justice League group. I get it. Okay? I get it.
You know what's funny? The guy who's playing the Flash on the CW was like an antagonist on one of the last seasons of Glee. So he can sing.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. He was a bad guy.
Yeah, at that stupid school.
The Warbler School.
Yeah, he was
after.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Oh my god. All right. So anyway, but at the same time, again, I understand that they're going for the older group, and we're all dark and seedy. But when I looked at the last trailer, I really was concerned about not feeling a direction. You know, normally when you watch a couple of trailers for a movie, you pretty much have been given the plot and sometimes the twist, which is stupid to do in a trailer because then I don't really have a reason to go,
like,
right?
Sixth Sense, I see dead people. Well, thanks for giving away the movie.
You know.
I mean, granted, I thought their timing on that was pretty good because you didn't realize that he was saying that because clearly Willis was dead the
Spoiler.
Whole time. Oh my god. Speaking of that movie and M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong, did you ever look into his movie Split?
No, I haven't watched Split. I keep being told that I need to watch it.
Because I'm going to spoil. Oh. Not that I've... Because someone brought it up, and I was like, what are you talking about? And, like, they're like, oh, if you haven't seen it, then you won't really get it.
Spoiler.
But I'm spoiling if you haven't seen Split. Because if you did see Unbreakable, then you'll want to watch Split. And that's what I'll say.
Okay, well, you didn't spoil it, because people have already talked about that.
Right, the fact that, you know, it's in the same universe that they're connected. Yes. But, I mean, like, people, I guess, when they first were seeing it, like, didn't get it. And then, like, when he showed up, they're like, what? And, like, the reference to Mr. Glass, what? And, like, it was kind of a big deal. And I'm like, I remember loving the fuck out of that movie and thinking M. Night Shyamalan and Ding Dong was onto something. And then The Village came out. And then I was like, oh.
We all went, oh.
I was so about the premise of The Village until it's like, by the way, these are just like 80 people who've like lived in the forest of this reservation and like that's not really reality. They're just wackadoos. I'm like, really?
They're just wackadoos in the forest.
They're just wackadoos. And they've just decided to cast. And then The Happening, oh no, the plants are trying to kill us. I'm Mark Wahlberg. Say hello to your mother for me, all right? Like, what? What is going on?
So like, I stopped watching his stuff after The Village because I was with you. I really liked
The Happening because I was big into Zooey Deschanel with her big wet eyes and her, I can't get anyone to love me even though I'm ridiculously cute and everyone wants to bone me, but no one wants to like be in this, like be in, like understand what this is like. I don't understand what I think. I hope she's actually married in real life. I mean, I don't know. I don't follow her life at all, but. All of her characters are always like, it's so tragic that no one can get my quirkiness. Bitch, if you were, like, not a famous person and just a regular everyday, you'd have, like, 8 dudes professing their love, wanting to marry and protect you for the rest of your natural life. So maybe bring down your standards a bit. Like, let's go. Right.
Anyway, transitioning off of Split.
Tangent Town.
All that tangent stuff. Let's get back to some game stuff. To talk about this week. I'm going to kick it off on the game front because I need to get this off my chest. It's really bothering me. So, as you guys know, we're not approved for media passes for E3. So, we are not going to be covering E3 this year like we normally cover it. We're still going to live tweet the media briefings for those of us who are going to be home on our couches at those
times. I'm sorry, I actually think I kind of like being couch coverage because I can have 4 pizzas right there for me. All right, 3 for me, 1 for my husband, but 3 for me. And I get to not wear pants and not have them be like, hey, ma'am, you need to wear pants. And I'd be like, no, I don't have to fight nobody. I can have as much wine as I want and like still get my job done. So like, I actually think I like the idea of couch coverage. That should be a show on YouTube.
Couch coverage is happening for E3 this year. I know that you and I are going to be, I'm pretty sure the whole team is going to be involved with the Microsoft briefing and the Bethesda briefing, which are happening on the 11th of June, which is a Sunday. E3 keeps getting longer and longer.
I like my dick.
No, it doesn't. You don't have a dick. Don't say that. But we are definitely going to be... live tweeting those events. I will actually be at the Microsoft briefing because I will be in LA that week. I will be going to that media briefing and hopefully I'll be going to Bethesda's briefing. Still haven't found out about that or not on that Sunday, but if not, I will definitely be live tweeting it while watching the stream from my room in lovely, lovely downtown LA. And I'm hopeful that I'll be able to get to the show floor a couple of days during the week. Bethesda has been awesome to us and extended an invitation, so I'm going to try and take them up on that, at least go a couple of days during the week. But as we're going into E3, one of the things that happens around it are all the events that are open to the public. You know, this year is the first year that E3 has opened up tickets for public consumption. And a big chunk of those tickets have already been purchased and are out the door. But that still hasn't stopped a couple of companies that have had successful public events outside of E3 continuing to do those. You know, EA is doing their EA Days thing again, and people were able to sign up online to get free tickets for that. And Xbox is doing their Fan Fest again. I went to the first Fan Fest that they had in LA a couple years ago, and it was absolutely fantastic, fantastic event. And I thought that it was great that, you know, they brought in so many people, you know, after having them stand out to get tickets in Microsoft stores, that they were able to bring them in and let them be part of the media briefing, and then surprised everybody with tickets to actually, I mean, I should say passes, to go to the Expo floor at E3. I really thought that that was a really amazing thing. And so this year, to be a little bit different and give more people opportunity to go to FanFest, they opened up FanFest registration to the internet. So instead of having to get to a specific physical Microsoft store and stand in line, it now would open it up for international folks, as well as, you know, people who weren't local to that area, an opportunity to attend FanFest, which E3 isn't the only place that Microsoft throws FanFest. They throw these big public open festivals around some of their other big events like Gamescom and things like that. And so I was like, all right, I'm in. Let's do this. They were making 400 tickets available. They were going to do 4 drops of tickets online. Each drop would have a unique URL, and you had a chance at one of 100 tickets. In order to be eligible, you had to have a Xbox gamer tag, so you had to have live in some form, either silver or gold, in order to be able to register. So I got up early to make the first drop, because they were doing the first drop at 6 a.m. Pacific, which was 9 a.m. Eastern. So I made the first drop and refreshed like crazy. And I've got mad bandwidth, so as soon as that link popped up, within 45 seconds, I was trying to get a ticket. There were some issues that it didn't actually load a part of a page, and I was getting ready to give up and mentioned it on Twitter, and someone said, yeah, just go ahead and click on you already have an account, and it'll pop up a window, and you can actually click on a tab there that says, no, actually, I need to make an account, and you could do it. So I did, and I thank that person for giving me the shout-out. Was able to complete my registration, and I was so excited when I got my You're Confirmed and screen. I was like, you're going to get an email. And I really didn't pay attention to much else other than, yes, you were able to get a ticket, because I knew that they were only making 100 available, and I figured, you know, people with bots and whatnot were going to be all over this registration. So I was super excited, and I got my confirmation email and noted that, you know, my number said that it was 1,065, knowing that they were only giving away 100 tickets. Me thinking was like, oh, they probably started their counter at 1,000. So I'm actually ticket 65 of the 100, you know, in order to make it sound big or feel big or whatever. And I didn't think much of it, went about my day. I was watching my Twitter stream to see when they did the next poll, which was supposed to be at noon Eastern, and noticed that no one was tweeting about it. People were tweeting questions. And I saw a tweet come out from the official Xbox hashtag saying that they were delaying the noon draw and asking people to be patient. So I knew something was up. I was in a group chat with some friends of mine, and as it turns out, everyone was talking about it seemed like there had been a big issue with the first draw of the day, and that it may have allowed more people to get tickets than they had intended to give away for the entirety of the day. But Microsoft hadn't communicated that yet through any channel. And about an hour after we were having this discussion, they started pulling from the Xbox feed all the tweets about FanFest. Everything that they had put out about it started to be deleted. The guy who runs the FanFest initiative at Microsoft basically was just tweeting out, we're aware of an issue, we're doing some investigation, sit tight, and other than that was radio silent. So I knew something real big was wrong. And it started to circulate on the internet that in the first draw, rather than giving out 100 registrations, it had given out upwards of 2,000.
Oh.
And that's a big problem. You know, because FanFest isn't just go to the media briefing. There's also swag that people are given, and it's usually pretty good, meaningful stuff. And again, you know, Microsoft more than likely was probably making passes to the Expo 4 available for people going to FanFest. However, upwards of 2,000 people got emailed that they were confirmed, including international folks. And so Once people got their confirmation emails, many of them started booking travel, making hotel arrangements, which, flying internationally, that is a non-refundable ticket when it comes to airfare. So, just some more you know, kids, flying internationally, that shit is not refundable. And so finally, in the middle of the afternoon, a tweet went out. I don't think that it was really the right tone, but basically said because fans were so enthusiastic about registering, the system broke and it let more people register than they should have. And so what they've decided to do is cancel all registrations, and they're going to do another draw again another day and ask people to sit tight while they work that out. And the marketer in me is just like, that is the biggest missed opportunity ever. And it just kind of reaffirms that, you know, so many companies get it wrong when it comes to appreciating their consumer base. Your event is called FanFest. It is supposedly an event that you're throwing to thank the diehard fans, the consumers that buy your products and keep you in business, with an event around a event that they can't go to give them an inside look at your games and what's coming, and to just hang out and have access to these people that they idolize. And so if your system messed up and took 2,000 people instead of 100, instead of negating everybody's registration, because some of those people have non-refundable airfare that they just lost. And so if I got a confirmation and I was trying to come from South Africa to Los Angeles and bought a ticket after I got my confirmation, and 7 hours later you tell me, actually, no, you don't have a confirmation, but I have an opportunity to try and get a ticket again next week, I'm going to be a little pissed. That's kind of like spitting in the face of my fandom. Just a little
bit. Just a little bit?
Just a little bit. And, you know, I know there's cost involved, but frankly, you know, Microsoft has a theater. The old Nokia theater is now the Microsoft theater. It easily holds more than 2,000 people. You change your venue and you make your event bigger than you had planned. So maybe you don't give everybody tickets to E3, but instead you bring in all 2,000 people that registered and maybe 1,000 more. You hook them up with food, the ability to get access to play a bunch of your games. Okay, I don't know what swaggage they had planned to have in the backpack they were going to give everybody, but you order more backpacks and maybe you take down the value of the swaggage so there can be, you know, a little bit of swaggage in every bag, and you eat that. And you take care of your fans that your festival is supposed to be about. And you take that lick, and then next year, you don't fuck it up like that. But instead, they canceled all the registrations. And, you know, for many people who probably registered for that event, they're probably not, like, daily followers of the Xbox hashtag, because they put out a press release and were like, you have to follow this handle on Twitter and click the link to register, and, you know, good luck, and if you get a confirmation, you're in. They still haven't communicated via email that my registration that I know has been canceled yet. So there may be some people who, you know,
Who don't know
that they don't actually have a FanFest ticket.
That's going to get very ugly very quick.
Because, like, I don't check my Twitter on the daily. I check my Twitter whenever I see that I get a DM or I get a mention. That's how I use Twitter these days. So after I got my confirmation and my thing said, hey, you're confirmed. Okay, once you decided to not
confirm me,
you should have sent out an email and said, if you got a confirmation letter, it was in error. We're redoing it. You can't just trust social media as being enough notification. So it's a big old mess. They're redoing the draw on April 26th at 9 a.m. Pacific. So that's noon Eastern. They're putting all tickets up for grabs, so all 400 tickets, and they're just doing that one drop.
That's one.
Just one. Mm. I just think it's a bad move, and it's just going to put a nasty, nasty taint on.
It's going to put a nasty taste in a lot of people's mouths.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully nothing goes wrong with this new draw. I don't know if I'm going to have an opportunity to get a ticket or not, but it's just not a good look all the way around, and just puts a layer of, you know, taint on top of an event that really should have been positive. And Microsoft really needs to be able to have a big positive coming out of events that they're doing. Because the last event that they did that they got any kind of press around was the one at GDC that had the scantily clad ladies after just doing a Women in Games panel that was profound and whatnot. And then like they
women, go we respect them. Show us your titties.
Right. That's basic. And like, it was just a big guffaw, and I felt so bad because Aaron Greenberg was not aware of it until it happened. It started making circles, and he wasn't happy. And I'm just like, you know, for and I love the Xbox platform. It's one of the reasons why I'm an MVP. You know, there's a lot of things that they do right, but man, oh man, like it's really hard to defend oversight after oversight
after oversight.
Right. So. Hopefully they'll get their stuff together, that this draw will go without a hitch, and, you know, we'll get into their media briefing, and Scorpio will just, you know, mop the floor with people, and be a good enough reason for me to get a 4K TV.
You and that 4K TV, bro.
To sell my Xbox One S and get a 4K TV. So that's what I got. That's what I got to share. I got nothing else to share. I'm done.
I have a game experience to talk about. And I'm going to try to keep it relatively light. Because, I mean, I'm not very far in the game I'm going to talk about. But I'm very late to this game's
party. So you're late to the party. You're late to the party early in the game.
Yeah.
And that game would be
Star Control 2, which was released back in like 1992. So we're going.
Yeah, you're
back.
You're like a lot late to the game if you're playing a game from 92.
And I am, because I love my husband and I would do almost anything for him.
I should have known.
And I have to put my foot in my mouth because this is like. This is, like, my guilty pleasure, you know, anime, you know, like, I'll watch that saccharine stuff and, like, be all about it. And, like, he'll sit there and bide his time. And I knew eventually that other shoe was going to drop. And then it did. At first I thought, oh, I could just play Netrunner with him, like, one or two times and, like, be good. No. So this is his absolute favorite game, and he's like, I think you'd really like it. And the reason I wanted to bring it up on the show initially is because you were gonna, I was thinking you were gonna talk a little bit more about your Andromeda experience, and people like to say that Star Control and Star Control 2 were the games that kind of inspired what Mass Effect became.
Okay.
So I think that was his selling point to get me to, like, watch him play it and then eventually play it myself, I guess, sort of. So I was like, oh, if it's like Mass Effect, cool. Granted, this is also 1992.
So it's not
Fireware.
Like, right.
So it's not like
Mass Effect.
But, I mean, and I've been dragging my feet about it quite a bit because it's very heavily space, navigation, like, longitude and latitude and longitude and space, but other coordinates, like all the stuff that like people liked about Star Trek and like ventured to learn about, but in this game you actually have to kind of know it and like print a fucking map with the coordinates to know where the fuck you're driving your spaceship and whatever. And
you need a really good Garmin is basically what you're saying.
Yeah. So but I sucked it up because I promised I'd play it. And then I got hooked on Zelda and then had to, like, get out of the doghouse because I was playing our Switch too much. And it's our Switch. It's not my Switch. Get my own Switch. Not that that's happening. But regardless.
I just love that you guys fight on your consoles.
Well, it's more like, I wasn't going to touch our Switch when we got it because we got it as a wedding gift. Because, like, it was really the thing that he wanted. And his best man, like, came through in spades. And he's like, oh, and I also got you Zelda. And then, like, because it was the big Zelda hype at that point. And I was like, I'll watch you play it. You'll get through it faster than me. And, like, as I watched him play it, I'm like, I must play this. I must put my hands on this. I must collect all the mushrooms and get all the shrines. Like, the collector in me just was like, there's so much for you to do. So you must find a time to get on the Switch. And then as soon as I did, I was just like, to the fact where I'm waking up on weekdays at 4 a.m. because I could play for 2 hours before I have to get him up to go to work.
Oh, that's so bad. It's like, that's bad, bro.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah. Very addictive. So, but, and then he felt bad because I stopped playing or stopped even showing feigning interest in Star Control 2. And he was like, just because we have this Switch, and if we didn't have this Switch, you'd play it. And I'm like, look, I'm like, I'll go
don't
back.
Don't be guilted and into playing something you don't want to play.
No. I promised, like, this is me trying to be a good wife. I was like, I promised I would play. I'm like, so we're going to go back to that. I'm like, I'm going to adhere to my side of the bargain, but I am reserving that early morning during times that you are not an active human being, which is promptly, like, on weekends 6 to 10, that I could play Zelda. But during community living room time, where we are doing
community living room time.
Like, when we're both doing stuff in the living room, like, watching stuff or whatever, and we want to play a game together, that I will dedicate my time to this game. However, so the whole point of this game is, you know, it's like 21. Right now in our game, it's 21:55. And I'm Captain McSpacey ship of the ship, my ship, because I'm great at naming shit.
Say that one more time. You are Captain McShippy Ship?
McSpacey name. McSpacey sorry.
McSpacey name. Uh-huh.
And I'm the commander of my ship called My Ship. Like M-A-I, my ship, my ship. Because I was like, I don't know what a space name would like, because I'm not good at that stuff. Like, I'm really not. Give me elves, like, I'll give you elven names until the cows come home, but space names, not so much. But, so my character, my captain, it wakes up in this very, like, ancient spaceship, but it's, like, a big fucking ship. Like, we're there to kick ass and take names. And I managed to get myself back home. And as I get to space, like, Earth, a big red, like, shield hits up. And this message from this bad group of aliens called the Urquan were like, yo, nobody's allowed to be. Well, they don't say yo, but they're, like, you know, very aggressive space octopus-type aliens. And they're just like, you know, Earth is under slave control. No one comes in or come out. Please leave your ship here. We will come and assess you. And I'm like, fuck no. I know what that means. Eradication. So I got the fuck out of Dodge. And I'm like, what the fuck happened? Where the fuck have I been? How did I not know that this was happening? I must liberate the human people. And I happen to find a space station with this other commander guy who's all like, yeah, we've been enslaved for like hundreds of years because the Urquan fucked up our shit and we decided we didn't want to fight for them. So now we're just slaves that just like farm and stuff. They destroyed all of our technology. They took all of our landmarks. They like blew everything up. And like, so we're just kind of out here in space existing sort of until the sweet release of death. And I'm like, I'm going to free you. And like, I'm trying to find all the good aliens who also resisted the Urquan while also not running into the Urquan because they fuck your Christmas 3 ways from Saturday. Cause my ship's not that powerful. And I'm like going down to planets and probing for resources and meeting aliens and talking to them. None of them are bang worthy, but you know, I don't think my captain is very much like the Kirk captain. Like, I'm not trying to get my dick wet. I'm actually trying to liberate humanity.
But I mean, if it happens as a result,
well, like, there is a sexy race of aliens called the Siren, which I have not met yet. But every time people talk about them, they pretty much say that, yeah, they're like the hottest aliens in like the universe. So like, I need to find where their part of space is so I could hit up some sirens and see what's going on with that. But like, the conversation trees and, you know, listening for clues and stuff in the dialogue is very reminiscent to the dialogue trees that you have in Mass Effect, and, you know, and these quirky adventures with, you know, your captain going to other aliens and establishing connections and alliances to overthrow, you know, the bad guy or the elusive man, or in this case, the Urquan. I mean, the game is only about estimated at about 15 hours. I can't, it's like the slowest 15 hours like so far in my life, but there are some nuances that I have found refreshing that you don't see in games today. So I am looking forward to finishing through Star Control 2, because one, it gets him off my back, and two, it would allow me to appreciate the games that we now play that just throw this stuff in as, you know, as like a common courtesy to a gamer, whereas this was like revolutionary. This like blew people's minds back in 1992. And I mean, I was alive then, but not for super, super long. Like, I was a young lad. of age because I math not good. But I'm excited a little bit about the encounters I'm going to have in this space odyssey of a game. I think because of it, I will appreciate things that happen in Destiny now when I decide to go back and when I finally decide to play Andromeda.
Whoa. You're going back to Destiny?
I might play a little bit more, I think. Yeah, I think so. Ooh. Just a little bit. Like I said, I'm getting this strong... I didn't really finish one.
Yeah, but two's going to be completely separate. You can't bring any of your one shit over.
Then. Never mind. If I can't haul, bring my shit with me.
Nope. All new. Can't bring none of your shit.
Oh, well then. Okay. Sure. No, but I was thinking about it. I'm like, I really did enjoy what I was doing in Destiny. Like, and I'm sad that the hype train really kind of dictated my play, my attention span for it, because there was a lot going on in that. And I think the same thing, like, with Zelda. Like, I'm pretty hooked on Zelda. Like, I think now that the hype train for that is really kind of simmered down, like, I'm actually really just enjoying, like, exploring the world. Like, right now I'm chasing a dragon in that game, and I don't know what these dragons have to do with anything, but, like, I've seen a yellow one and now a red one. And, like, no one will tell me what they're for, but I think they're related to something that Link, like, I don't know, but I want to find out because, like, they're beautiful and they never attack me, but, like, they're clearly, like, hey, look at me. What do I mean? You know what I mean? So, like, I'm trying to figure out what their deal is. But this game really gave me a strong sense of I would like to understand why I should appreciate this more. And I think going back in the game logs to even a game that I know I didn't play back in 1992 and seeing something completely out of my like wheelhouse of games that I would generally gravitate towards was also kind of eye-opening to me as a gamer. So I really do appreciate that he stuck with it and really kind of forced me to like expand my view a little bit, which I'm generally very close-minded about the stuff that I want to invest my time in. But sometimes you find, like, that hidden path in the woods to, like, that really cute nook. And, like, yeah, you might walk back home with, like, a tick in your vag, but, like, you didn't know the tick was there, so you're cool, right? And you got it out. Like, it's not a problem. And, like, that sunset was beautiful. And, like, the fish jumping in the water, also kind of cool. Yeah, you got a tick in your vag, but, like, you know, there's always good and bad. There's give and take, you know? So that's what we're doing right now as a couple's thing. And I'd say we're probably currently maybe at the 3 or 4 hour mark. And I've encountered several species of aliens, and some of their dialogue just hurts me to listen to.
Really?
Like in Mass Effect, where you had the elephant aliens that can't emote, but they say what they're trying to emote so that you can kind of get an idea. So like them, like they're the Eeyores of space. So like they're all, their voices are all monotone and they excited laughter. You're so funny. And like, and that was kind of, you know, it. Well, in this game, you have like, I've just met these aliens called the Oars, which kind of look like giant yellow vagina demons. And their translator on their ship is not very advanced. So it's not accurate. And like things that are not right, they put asterisks on. But like the voice actor guy, who I actually kind of imagine was probably one of the guys who developed it, either Fred Ford or Paul Reish III, or like their ragtag group of programmers, all like assigned a voice very much like Rare does, because I think Rare actually, a lot of their developers actually do like the little sounds that you find in like Banjo-Kazooie and stuff like that. And I think these guys took that idea or had that idea first. And but these guys all kind of talk weird, and like I couldn't tell if I was feeling awkward because I couldn't tell if they were being aggressive because their tone was too positive, like that super passive, that passive aggressive friend that, you know, like you kind of can't read her all the time, but like she sounds like she's mad, but then you'd ask her if she's mad and she says she's not mad, but then like,
but you know that she is.
Like, she's like, no, I'm totally fine. Like, go ahead and do what you want. I'll just be right here. not enjoying myself. Like, kind of. So, like, these aliens kind of talk like that, but just a little bit more positive. But they're just like, yeah, we're going to go dance with some Urquan later. And I'm like, why are you dancing with the Urquan? They're bad. Oh, maybe because your translator doesn't mean dance, and you mean dance as a negative and not a positive. Maybe. Like, so I had to figure all this stuff out. And, like, that's kind of interesting. It's a concept that I don't think we see too much in our games now, because we're just so hyped on the functionality and the UI and the graphics and the sound design and, like, how pretty everything is. But remember, it all started from someplace. And, you know, people love Mass Effect and Mass Effect 2, mm-hmm. and Mass Effect 3. And I don't hear people saying that they hate Andromeda. They do have their hesitations about Andromeda, from what I've heard. But if it weren't for games like this game, we would probably not have Mass Effect. So it's really nice to go back to the basics and see where it all came, see where that little sprig came from that turned into the massive tree that is, you know, Mass Effect today. So I do plan to play the whole thing through, and only once, because I will never go back to it again. But I am open to the experience, which is why I'm saying this is more of an experience than I think a game for me yet. I haven't found the nuance that I'm like, oh yeah, I gotta go back and do this now. That has not happened for me yet. And there's a lot of collecting in this game, and I'm still not very like, oh yeah, I gotta go back there and get that iridium, because I need that for my ship.
You always need iridium for your ship.
You always need iridium for your ship. But that's what I've been playing. I haven't watched a lot of anime recently, because I kind of can't figure out what I'm in the mood for. Like, I don't know if I want something surreal, if I want something dark, or if I want something lighthearted. Well, if you want something dark,
Titans Season 2 is running. I haven't started it yet, because I'm not ready for dark.
No, I'm not ready. I think I'm done with the whole Titan thing. Like, I'm not ready for it.
And it's very weird, this season that's on right now of Crunchyroll. It seems to be a much heavier mix on fantasy, ecchi, and idol.
Can we talk about this weird trend? Because right now, right, idols are kind of the thing. And then it seemed like last season it was like monster girls were like the thing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's
idols this go around and fantasy stuff. And I think it's because, you know, things like Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon did so well that this season there just seems to be much more fantasy, idol, and, like I said, ecchi stuff. There's one that popped up, I forget what its name is, but I only got halfway through the first episode because the amount of nakedness and nipple licking that was happening was really distracting from me trying
to... Nipple licking, you say?
Yes, yes. So,
like, female?
Yes.
Nipple licking?
Yes. Yes. So there was
what's the name of this anime?
So it's similar to one that I was watching before. So there was Seven Deadly Sins that I watched on Netflix. This is Mortal Sins.
Oh.
I think, or something.
Well, nipple licking is a mortal sin.
And so basically it's about
the
fallen angel Lucifer and the mortal sins, the seven deadly sins that are in hell, and they're all amazingly gorgeous looking women. And Lucifer decides that as she's fallen, she's now going to go from being one of the seven virtues to being the demon lord of sins, and wants to get into a battle. And there's a demon, Leviathan, who idolizes and sexually assaults, basically, Lucifer while she's trapped on a cross. And then...
Oh, kinky.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very kinky. It's very kinky. And I was trying to follow the story, but they kept distracting me. And of course, you know, because everything is censored, they're just big spinny wheels showing up, covering things, but you know what's happening.
Like, clearly that's a vagina.
Right. So
clearly that's boobies.
Leviathan can manipulate water, and so creates water tentacles that begin to bind.
Penetrate.
And yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a classic.
Yep.
That's a nice callback.
So that's one that's going on right now. Like I said, I made it halfway through the first episode. I'm going to finish it. I'm probably going to watch. Let me not lie. I'm going to end up watching it, but I'm just like, as I'm watching, I'm like, this is just so, like, over the top. Like, I have nothing against ecchi, but, like, work it in tastefully. Don't just, you know, do it for the sake of, here's a frame, we could be looking at a titty right now. Titty. Like,
titties.
Titties. So that's running. I started watching. There's a couple that are, again, harem setups. There's one that's a boy harem. They're all princes that get a tutor, and they all don't want the tutor, but they eventually come to love the tutor because the tutor's so amazing and, like, pays attention to them unlike any other tutor that they've had before. So that one's running. That one you might like, I think, because it's kind of like, it reminds me very much of Oren Host Club.
Okay.
In the different prince personalities. And I know that you liked Oren. So there's a couple of really interesting animes that have started this season on Crunchyroll, which are worth watching. I myself just went back and rewatched Code Geass on Funimation because I was just itching for it. So I ran through all 52 episodes because I needed that in my life. But I feel you. I'm in a similar place. I don't know exactly what it is that I'm in the mood for. I know what I'm not in the mood for, which is why I've stayed.
Yeah, like I'm in a weird place where I kind of can't figure it out right now, which is weird for me because usually I'm like, you know, I'm in the mood to be uplifted. Let me find something that's like happy. But like I've been having a hard time.
So let's do this. Let's dive into anime this week on Crunchyroll and Funimation, and we'll each talk about something that we dived into that we liked and that we dived into and we didn't like and why on next week's show.
Okay.
So next week, it's all anime.
Okay.
Unless somebody announces, like, a game in the middle of the week that's, like, Amazeballs. Or somebody gifts me with a Switch. Which
will not be me.
So, which won't happen, so... It'll be anime next week. Yay! We've made a decision! And we're out of time for this week's episode. If you enjoy our podcast, and we hope that you do, make sure that you subscribe. You can get it in iTunes either on the desktop or on your iOS application through the podcast app by searching for the Eshcast and subscribing. You can also listen to the podcast on our site. We have links up so you can subscribe to it on your Android device or on your iOS device. You can catch episodes of our show over at vognetwork.com. You can also listen to us on Stitcher Radio and on Google Play. Pretty much where any fine podcast aggregation is happening, you can find the Eshcast. So make sure that you subscribe and get our brand new episodes as soon as we put them out on the internet for your consumption. You should also visit our website, electricsisterhood.com, to check out our news and reviews that we're putting up on the site. We talk about games, we talk about comic books, we talk about anime, we talk about all things nerdy on the site and review them. So make sure that you check them out, share them on your social, share them with your friends, comment, let us know what you like, what you don't like, what you agree with and what you don't, and we'll keep that conversation going. Also hit us up on our social channels because we are all over the interwebs and we want to hear about what you want to hear about. So if there is a game that you want us to review or think that we should check out or would enjoy, same thing with anime or even movies, hit us up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh. You can also hit us up on Twitter at ESHnews. And you can follow us on Instagram. Whenever we go out to events, we'll be taking photos. Sometimes when we start playing new games, we'll be taking video as well on our Instagram channel at ESH News. We've got videos, unboxings, and more on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/electricsisterhood. Like I said, we're all over the internet, and we've got more video coming. So make sure that you engage with us on our socials. Stay in the know. All the stuff that we're writing about, sharing about, crowing about, and checking into. Because we enjoy sharing it with you and hope you enjoy sharing it with us. If you enjoy all the stuff that me and my sister and the team puts together at the Land of Ash, then make sure that you check out all the great sites that are part of our family. That's B3Crew.com and the No Borders, No Race podcast hosted by the homie KBD. If it's indie, if it's interesting, if it's nerdy in any kind of way, KBD and team are talking about it at B3Crew.com. You should also check out the homie, HamsterMan2049, SmashRook.com. He streams every Wednesday night at 9 Eastern on Twitch, playing all different kinds of games, new and old. Make sure that you tune in live. You can hit up our Facebook page and get the link. You can also get the link on our social. Every Wednesday night, 9 Eastern, he's streaming at Twitch, twitch.tv/HamsterMan2049. Make sure that you check it out. It's absolutely a blast. Join in chat. be part of the show. It's a hilarious and fun time. Speaking of hilarious and fun times, the homie Phil, the Issues Guy with Phil's Recap and Review on YouTube. Subscribe to his channel. Check out issuesprogram.com. It's absolutely fantastic recaps. Absolutely fantastic reviews. If you like just being real and fun, then trust me, you will love Phil's Recap and Reviews. And last, but certainly not least, the homies over at nerdcrave.com, held down by our man, Louis Hendricks, the newest to the team, but not the newest to nerddom. Comic books, video games, anime, manga, you name it, if it's nerdy, they are talking about it and reviewing it over at nerdcrave.com. So make sure that you check out all of our sites, you bookmark all of us, check out our podcasts, the ones that are in iTunes. If you like us, please give us a review. We love seeing your feedback there for all of our shows and all the things that we do. I've hit up everybody I need to hit up. So at this, I'm just going to say, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And until next time.
Peace, homies.
Titties.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It feels so good to be back here at the Dexter Lake Club. We like to do for you now a tune entitled Shamalama Ding Dong. So here it is.
Deep.